The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, so shop now with BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Fresh Pick Suds Flower Soap Gift Pack. A selection of pretty flower soaps and a host of delicate floral scents, and you can carry your flower soaps with you in an adorable little reusable vinyl bag. Only $12 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. We were just saying that I'm an entertainer too.
Oh yeah? What do you do?
I'm in a sitcom.
It's called When the Whistle Blows. Mm. Have you seen it?
I haven't, no. Is it any good?
Nice.
Oh, just riffraff everywhere. I think I've sold out, to be honest, but
yeah,
it's difficult, isn't it, when to keep your integrity when you're going for that first
little fat man who sold his soul.
The
little fat man who sold his dream. Chubby little loser. Chubby little loser. National joke. Fatso takes his own life. He blows his bloated face off. No. He blows his stupid brains out.
But the I'd probably miss.
Yes, Linda, I like that.
Yeah, so do I. It's brilliant, Linda.
He sold his soul for a shot at fame. Catchphrase and wig and the jokes are lame. He's got no style. He's got no grace. He's banal and facile. He's a fat waste of space. Yeah, yeah. Everybody sing that last line. One, two, three.
You're always one, two, three jumps ahead. Stick with us, you'll be well fed.
With happy music all the while.
Easy listening with a smile.
Keep jumping, follow suit. You're gonna have a bright new future.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, January 12, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hey there.
Just behind the president. Waiting for the president.
Is that what I'm doing? I'm jerking off.
Under the desk where the State
I'm
of the
right
Union is.
Right there behind us. You know, God, I would so, like, as creepy as that would be, it would be awesome.
Yeah,
if somebody
imagine.
Did that at some point behind them. Because I just like to watch the face. I'd like to watch that sort of biting lip, like, Joe Biden would do that.
Joe Biden would jerk off. I think
Biden
he has
totally
already.
Do that. Biden would totally do that.
Yeah, from what I read, it was 2011 he did it, and then again in 2014, and then 2015 again. No word as to whether or not Joe Biden's going to jerk off again.
Wink at Claire McCaskill.
His left hand on John Boehner's knee. Wow. Show's already taken a weird turn and we're not even started yet. All right. We are brought to you each and every week by BubbleGenius.com. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need legal advice, free legal advice, head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or just click the link on the podcast page. So we do have a pretty big show today. We've got we're going to preview the State of the Union. We talk about the latest from the stupid militia occupation of the wildlife refuge. Plus,
that's
maybe
deployment. By the way,
what's that?
It's a deployment.
Yeah, that's right. They've deployed.
They've called it a deployment.
Oh God, really?
You f***ing military cosplaying douches.
Is there any real solid word on how many of these guys are actually military veterans?
I honestly don't know. I'm betting very few.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't Ritzheimer?
Yeah, Ritzheimer might be.
I think Ritzheimer is. But you know, I mean, supposedly a couple of them have said they're military and they're not.
Yeah. Well, so, it seems to me as if you've been in the military and you've seen combat, why on earth would you want to do this? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I fought in a real war. I was up to my neck in the shit of Ramadi and Fallujah. You know, wait, why the hell would you want to go and waste your time freezing to death in Oregon? Of all places, like, oh my God, I haven't seen enough combat or enough weirdness. By all means, let's go out to the Malheur Wildlife Refuge in Oregon and make pretend war.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. So we're going to talk about that in a second. Plus, my favorite audio of the week. And going to get into Bernie versus Hillary a little bit today. And this is based on the latest series of polls coming up. And then I presented a question on Twitter that, you know, I'd like to analyze a little bit more here on the show. So we'll talk about that. The question basically is this. If Bernie Sanders wins the nomination, how will he compete in terms of money against the Republicans, knowing that he's refusing to take, you know, the big money donors, basically the corporate money, the Wall Street money, the super PAC money, etc.? I mean, how is he possibly, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We don't want to get too deeply into it.
The grassroots only goes so far, unfortunately. I wish it were differently, but it's just not.
Well, I mean, there's an argument to be made that it could actually work, but I'm highly skeptical, and on top of being very, very risk averse right now for a number of reasons, which is, you know, I mean, all things being equal, and again, I don't want to get into it now, but all things being equal, I'm more willing to back a candidate who I know has very little chance of losing across the board versus a candidate who's a little more sketchy given the stakes. So we'll talk. We'll get that into that a little bit more.
No, man, feel the burn.
Feel the burn.
Don't you know that?
Yeah. But meanwhile, there's a bit of a breaking news story here today. The headline is two U.S. Navy boats seized in Iran.
Yeah, saw that.
Pentagon is saying this afternoon that they lost contact with two Navy boats. Is that what they call them? Aren't they like vessels or battleships or?
I don't know what kind. They may have been like Zodiacs,
but I mean
like dinghies,
like boat. To me, boat
a Navy
is like
whaler, like a Boston whaler.
Right. I'm thinking though, like a boat is right, like a dinghy or like Gilligan's boat.
Yeah,
like the minnow.
No, I honestly minnow. Don't know.
Navy boats in the Persian Gulf, and they are currently in Iranian custody. A Pentagon spokesman told the AP that the boats, with American sailors on board, were traveling between Kuwait and Bahrain before they lost contact, and now they're being held in Iran. However, the spokesman assured, quote, "We have been in contact with Iran and have received assurances that the crew and the vessels will be returned promptly." So, well, there you go. Hopefully that'll take place, and we'll keep track of that as we go on through the show. Right. Meanwhile, the Oregon standoff continues, and it's not even really a standoff. I mean, there's just pictures floating around of the sheriff, like, shaking hands with Ammon Bundy, and this is really just a camp out, and they've got...
But they have taken down fences, and they say, I don't know if it's actually happening yet, they say that they're going to allow, like, nearby ranchers to come and, of course, graze on federal property, which is what all of this was about to begin with.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, this judge in Oregon is sticking Ammon Bundy with $70,000 a day for security costs.
Good.
Which is awesome.
I'm sure they can pay that with their disability.
An Oregon judge has had enough of the hillbilly Bundy militia and is now saying that he plans to bill the leader, Ammon Bundy, up to $70,000 a day for security costs. The armed takeover of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge by the anti-government group has caused major disruptions in Harney County. And it doesn't seem like the merry band of imbeciles plans to leave anytime soon. According to reports, the group has used federal equipment to remove fences and separated the federal property from a local rancher. In addition to the damage they have caused on the property, the militants forced 80 kids to miss a weekend of school because the school board was worried about the safety of the students. Police also report they have had to relocate the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife employees from their homes, quote, out of an abundance of caution, unquote, because the group possibly found out their personal information. The group has been accused of illegally accessing the government computers in the building. Good
God. I mean, these people are idiots, and it's fun to make fun of them, and they are just a gigantic laughingstock, but something needs to be done about them. This thing can't carry on indefinitely.
Yeah, I know.
It's interrupting people's lives, and more importantly than that, it's wrong. It's against the law.
Yeah, and at some point, you got to send a message that this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And to allow them to just do it.
I know that they're probably trying to go the way of the Freeman movement, whatever the hell they called it, in Montana. And just, you know, not try to get into an actual shooting fight with these dingbats. But, you know, I mean, still, there needs to be some negotiation. There needs to be some rules set down. Like, look, you know what? I'm sorry. We're not tolerating this.
Yeah, obviously.
Because tolerating what happened at the Bundy Ranch back in 2014, tolerating that, not arresting anybody, and just saying, mm-hmm. oh, okay, you know, no harm, no foul. That's what started this. That's what led to this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They face right. no punishment.
That's exactly right. Yeah. For example, that sniper from the Bundy Ranch standoff didn't get arrested. I mean, this is remarkable to me that guy is still at large after
that guy should be in prison right now.
He should absolutely be in prison. I mean, who knows? Maybe the hands-off approach taken by federal agents during that standoff is what kind of encouraged them to do this current one, knowing that, you know, they're going to get leniency.
Of course. Oh, it absolutely did. No, that's not even a question. The lack of punishment. Mm-hmm. That came out of 2014, the Bundy Ranch standoff, is exactly what emboldened them to do this.
Yeah.
Because they really figured, well, you know what, we're just going to go and we're going to make our stand. And you know what, if things really do go south, all right, so we just come back home.
Right, right. And so how severe and how lengthy will the next one be?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. This will continue. As long as you have armed idiots... This is going to go on, and you don't come in and say, you know what, fuck you, we're putting you in your place.
That's right.
You know, you don't need guns to do it, but there has to be a, like, look, you know what, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get away with this. Look, okay, playtime's over, jerk-offs.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, at some point, for God's sake, just get them the hell out of there. I mean, just if you have to use beanbags or you have to use tear gas, get them out of there. I mean, they may not be an existential threat to anybody right now, but they're being disruptive, and the fact that they haven't been dispersed yet is a positive signal to anyone else who wants to do it wherever they right. live. So yeah, you can exactly. have this happening all over the place unless something occurs to say, you know what, we're not going to tolerate this. These guys out there playing grab ass, no more. No more. Just get them out of there. And that has to happen, like, now.
Yeah, it has to. And the people who point out that if these people were black or Muslim or really any color other than a bunch of white rednecks, it wouldn't even have gone on for this long.
Well, I mean, I'd love to see at this point, like a group like Black Lives Matter to go in and with firearms try to occupy a federal building. Yeah. I mean, make it equivalent, like somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And see how law enforcement reacts then.
Something along those lines worked out really well for the MOVE people. Back in Philadelphia in
yeah.
85.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, they bombed an entire block.
Who was the mayor responsible for that? Was that Wilson Good? Is that
I
the guy?
Remember. Yeah. I feel bad that I can't remember, but
Because he bombed the goddamn place.
He bombed a city block.
Yes. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what happens when you're black. Exactly. Well, see, they ought to, I mean,
we will kill you and the other six buildings around you.
That's right. Oh, my God.
If you're white, that's all right. No problem. Everything's cool. If you're black, now, you know what? Not only do you have to die, but apparently everybody else around you has to as well. I don't think people around them die, but still, you know, just goddamn, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the double standard is astonishing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it really genuinely is a double standard. And I get the argument. You can make the argument that it's because these people are armed.
Yeah.
And that alone, I think, is a real problem, because I think that sends the message to these clowns that, well, you know why they won't come take us? Because we're armed. You know why we're armed? So they won't come take us, because they're tyrants.
Yeah, see, now they would be
stopping government tyranny.
They would have been booted out of there if they were unarmed black people running away from the wildlife refuge. Otherwise, they're just there with the guns, so that means don't attack. None of it makes any sense. Of course, they could take these guys through various nonviolent means, just, you know, any number of methods to subduing them without injuring them and without injuring any federal agents or any local law enforcement. But yeah, I mean, that desperately needs to happen, because this has gone on long enough. They fooled around long enough, to quote an infamous, awful comedian.
Thank you, Bill Cosby.
Yeah, it was Bill.
I fooled around long enough.
I just threw in a Bill Cosby reference, for God's sake. By the way, we are going to talk about this whole thing, comparing this the Trump video and then the reaction now subsequent to it, comparing Bill Cosby versus Bill Clinton. We'll hopefully get to that. Well, everybody's comparing Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton for some reason.
Why in the hell are they doing that? The two have nothing in common.
Well, that's just right. I mean, but tell that to Donald Trump, who put Bill Cosby in his first ad against Hillary Clinton.
Of course he did.
He basically said that Hillary Clinton is a hypocrite because she's still married to Bill Clinton and given all of his philandering. And yet she's also an advocate for women's rights,
is Donald Trump who said this.
This is Donald Trump.
Serial marrier of Eastern European models.
That's right. That's right.
But she's a member of the Bride of the Month Club.
But it's Hillary's problem that Bill Clinton cheated on her. And somehow Bill Clinton's serial cheating is the same as Bill Cosby's serial raping.
Right, but that's been a thing with the Republicans for forever.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's some Republicans.
That Hillary is to blame for the fact that her husband cheated.
That's right, that's right. Well, what we're going to do here is we're going to take an early first break and then come back and really, really dive into this audio of John Ritzheimer evaluating all of his fun, shall we say, treats mailed to him in Oregon, him and his militia buddies.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. Chez wrote a piece about this in the Daily Banter if you want more information. But we're going to talk about that after a short break, back right after this. Okay, let's talk about Harry's Razors. One great way to start the new year is by saving money, and I know how to save you a bunch. Go to harrys.com and buy your shaving supplies there. There's a reason stores keep their blades locked in one of those glass cases. It's because they're so overpriced, some people have done bad things to get them. The rest of us just went to the counter and paid too much. But with Harry's, we can all get high-quality, German-engineered five-blade cartridges delivered to our doorsteps for half the price of Gillette. Half the price and without leaving the house. Because with Harry's, there's no middleman. The blades go right to you from the factory. And if you use the code REALM at checkout, that's R-E-L-M, Harry's will knock an additional $5 off your first order. I shaved with Harry's this morning, just as I have every day for months, and I couldn't be happier with the quick, smooth, and comfortable shave and with the money I save. I even subscribe to have the blades automatically sent on a schedule I set, and I can adjust it at will. Join me and the millions of other guys who have switched to Harry's, and a lot of their wives and girlfriends as well, by the way. First-timers, get this great Harry's razor, 3 cartridges, a blade protector, and Harry's shave gel for just $10. But only if you check out with the code REALM, R-E-L-M, at harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yeah, not since Robin Williams' death have I seen such an outpouring of grief and outpouring of tributes to a celebrity who left us this week. It was David Bowie.
Well, Bowie was magical. Bowie was... Yeah. Pure art. There was no one else like him. No one.
Yeah, but I said on Facebook, I mean, my first reaction, as soon as I heard, I was shocked. And part of the reason why, you know, sometimes a celebrity goes and you know, you're going to go, well, I can kind of see that. Like Lemmy. Like, oh, Lemmy died. What a shocker.
Yeah.
No, this wasn't like that. But when it comes to David Bowie, it's like, that's inconceivable to me because he seemed like one of those guys. And you know what? Kind of like Robin Williams, where you feel like he could have lived forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was one of those personalities who just kept going and he kind of looked youthful as well.
Always. Yeah.
And he was still creating. And I talked about this with John Fugelsang and Frank Conniff on Sirius XM the other day, is that the thing that was so great about David Bowie is he never really relied upon his back catalog to carry his career forward. He was always creating new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that's a really big deal. I think that's a huge statement in terms of his creativity.
And he was so prolific there was a period there, his period, basically his period during the 70s, there was so much output in that era that it's almost shocking when you think about the number of albums he released.
Yeah.
And how disparate they were.
Yeah. I mean, recording artists in the 70s used to often record albums, released albums once a year, which, and that was maybe something that was closer to being in the earlier 70s rather than the later 70s. But that was the environment. That was the climate in the record industry where you could actually do that. But I mean, it seemed to me as if he was a guy who was just the epitome of both. And I guess he was balancing not only his artistic integrity, which always remained intact, but also his ability to just create fantastic pop music. And that's often not, you don't find many recording artists who can balance those two things together. It just doesn't happen. Usually if they're pursuing a big pop career, they don't care. They don't care how they sell out or how often.
No, he was someone who balanced art and commerce without trying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, U2 makes a lot of effort to balance art and commerce, and sometimes it feels contrived.
Yeah.
Bowie just did what he loved doing, and as it turned out, the audience came to him. Yep. And it worked out really well, and all of his various incarnations were things of beauty. They were just exquisite. You know, they were completely seamless, and yet at the same time, even though they were by definition contrived, they never felt like that. They never felt forced. You never looked at it and went, okay, now he's become something else. It wasn't anything at all like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just who Bowie was, and it just an extraordinary musician, extraordinary artist, extraordinary visionary.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the point, by the way, where, I mean, Black Star is a fucking incredible album. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if he hadn't died, I spent the weekend listening to Black Star, and it's a great record.
Yep.
And you know, obviously, now that he's gone, it's like you look back on it, you go, okay, now I see exactly what he was getting at there. I mean, the last song on it, which I wrote about yesterday, the last song on that album, which is obviously meant to be the last song you'll ever hear from David Bowie, is called I Can't Give Everything Away. And it is just, I mean, I listened to it yesterday and I was bawling. It's just this melancholy, regretful, but also gorgeously sweeping and anthemic piece of music. And it is the perfect goodbye to this man's extraordinary artistic career, extraordinary artistic life.
Yeah, some of these, and David Bowie was certainly the perfect example of this observation, but a lot of the recording artists that are sort of in their twilight years now, certainly, you know, my favorite band, which is Rush, and also, like you mentioned, U2 and some other older recording artists are getting to this point where they're the last of an era, and the lastness comes in the form of not relying upon doing the nostalgia tours all the time.
No, not at all.
I think from now on, we're going to see more and more of that because touring is where the money is now, not recording albums. And the fact that David Bowie kept recording albums and not relying on that back catalog and just doing those nostalgia tours, sort of like Billy Joel, is a rare thing anymore. And I think it's a dying thing, which is sad to say.
Yeah.
But I think with David Bowie goes a certain kind of musical integrity that we're going to see more and more seldom as time goes on. So in the meantime,
you know what else, by the way?
What's that?
I need to know how in the hell Iggy is the last one alive.
Yeah.
How did Iggy somehow outlive David Bowie and Lou Reed?
Keith Richards.
There you go. There's another great example. How the f*** is Keith still alive?
Lemmy made it to 70. Yep. How is it conceivable that Lemmy made it to 70 and David Bowie died at 69? All right.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little tribute to David Bowie and the internet by our friend Rocky Mountain Mike.
1,000 trolls have made you dumb. 1,000 trolls have made you dumb. Drink your Kool-Aid and put your tinfoil hat on. Twitter. 1,000 trolls have made you dumb. 7.
helpless. Commencing comments, brains have none.
Three,
occupation. Check ignorance, and may Yahoo be with you.
Thanks to Rocky Mountain Mike for that. Yeah. A thousand trolls have made you dumb. Okay, so moving along here, let's talk about this John Ritzheimer video. John Ritzheimer put out a video. He's one of the Oregon militia guys.
He's and, the Oregon
militia. The Oregon militia guy. He's on his way.
Better than the Bundys.
So great. On the way there, he did that tear-soaked farewell video to his wife and his kids. And
Daddy took an oath.
Daddy took an oath.
I wonder if that's what he said. I can just...
I'm waiting for this now. What is
it? I could just see him like standing above his wife like, Daddy took an oath. You know it.
Jesus. Well, he did another video.
I could have made that image far worse.
Yeah.
That's far worse. That was the PG-13 version of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping for the full, like, Pornhub version.
It would just be one long bleep.
All right, so here's John Ritzheimer's latest tape. You've got this posted on the Daily Banter
that
right
be a
now.
Porn, that's it. That's the porn parody video of all of this. Daddy took an oath. A porn parody, XXX.
See, now there's an untapped market doing politically themed porn parodies.
Sure.
Has anyone done that?
Somebody, by the way, I guarantee you, somebody somewhere is already coming up with a gay porn version of this. A gay porn movie based on this.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting.
Militia Men.
Looking forward to seeing the porn adaptation of the new movie, The Big Short.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't even have to change the name of that one.
The Big.
By the way, I saw that movie.
How is it? I heard it's great.
Oh, my God. It's really great. And also, really depressing.
Yeah, sure.
Really, really depressed. The Big Short is basically, it's the new movie about the financial crisis, but it's basically focused in on the guys who tried to short sell the American economy. And so they saw the housing crisis coming with credit default swaps and CDOs and all that stuff, and they decided to short sell all of those mortgages. And of course, they were right, and they made a lot of money. A lot of money betting against the American economy. And just reliving that whole thing as someone who was screwed by the recession was not fun. But as a film, it was superb.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some things in that movie that I had never seen before. And a lot of that, I got to say, hats off to Adam McKay, who directed the thing. Adam McKay, surprisingly good. in directing this kind of a movie. There was still that Adam McKay sort of sense of humor in there, which is one of the things that set it apart from, I think, another director's interpretation of those events. So it's really good. I strongly recommend that. I'll talk about that more, a little more during the after party on Friday. But in the meantime, let's play this clip. This clip at long last, John Ritzheimer talking about all the fun things that have been sent to them. And I think I'm pretty sure that I saw on the table the box that was sent to him from Bubble Genius.
Hmm.
I know Paula from Bubble Genius made a huge gift box. Send it to them. I think I recognize the Bubble Genius colored tissue paper in the box that Paula always wraps her stuff in. So let's play this tape here.
What's going on, everybody? So we went and picked up some mail that came in from a lot of the supporters, but along with that mail, we got an abundance of the hate mail, and it was really mind blowing to me that people would actually spend their money. This box right here, $17.90. They spend and waste their money on all this hateful stuff to send out here to us and buy this ridiculous stuff.
What kind of resources are they spending occupying a wildlife refuge?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. These people don't care about any money being spent on anything.
No, they don't. Absolutely not.
It's really ridiculous. Even this one was really funny. A bag of dicks.
Oh, please. Can you please ISO that? And we could just use that. Just a bag of dicks.
Someone sent them a bag of dicks.
Totally. A lot of people sent them a bag. I think it was Gawker.
Yeah.
Gawker put together an insane care package.
Yeah, and then right there on the table, too, there's a gigantic, gigantic fleshy-colored dildo. Like, and one of the anatomically correct dildos. I don't know if you noticed that on the table. So they got one of those. So at least they have that. I mean, if they run out of snacks, they've got something else to put in their mouth. Got a strap-on dildo. Maybe Dan Bedondi sent
dildos,
him a dildo.
Dildos.
Yeah. Maybe uh-huh. someone.
Where is Bedondi? Why is he not there?
I don't know. I think he's. I think he's slacking.
I guarantee you, he's not allowed to leave Providence for some legal reason.
He's such a slacker. All right. You know what? We're late for a break here. We're gonna take a quick break and come back and wrap up this tape right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the after party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Pants.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
The second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. You know what to do. Support the show through our Amazon link. It costs you nothing and helps us out. So thank you in advance for doing that. Also, big plug for Patreon. Our pledges right now are doing really, really well. I mean, we've had a big spike in pledges over the last week or so, but we can do better. We can do better. There are many, many more listeners who are hearing this show right now who aren't necessarily supporting us at Patreon. And if you can't afford it, we totally understand. That's a completely valid excuse, of course. But if you've got just $1 a month, that's all it takes. $1 a month, that's, I don't know.
No, it isn't. We work for you, cheapskate.
Or what Chez said. Yeah, so I mean,
seriously, we honestly, look, we need this.
You know,
we work hard on the show, and by all means, please, if you can do it, if you can afford to give a little bit, give a little bit. And you got something waiting for you at the end of the rainbow if you do, because if we get to our goal, obviously we'll do this show.
Yep.
I don't know how. I don't know how we do it. I can barely get enough brain cells together to do it twice a week in the after party, but somehow we'll do it 5 days a week.
That's right, 5 days a week, and then beyond that, we'll just increase the goal, and then we'll add something else with the very next goal after that, and something else that you'll
certainly
want to
do the show naked.
We'll do
the
show naked.
You won't be able to see it, but you know, you can just know that that's happening.
And there's always that fantastic incentive of if we get to $10,000 on Patreon.com, then I'll post a picture of myself shirtless, which I don't know why anyone would necessarily want to see that.
Oh, I guarantee you're going to be told by a lot of people.
Okie dokie. All right, let's get back to this.
To find out.
Let's get back to this John Ritzheimer tape, because people are sending him bags of dicks, which is fucking awesome. I love that. I love it. Please, more, more, more.
So rather than going out and doing good, you know, they just spend all their money on hate and hate and hate and hate. So we're going
to... You just took all the crap and shoved it off the table.
And my favorite thing about that, you have to see it to understand, is that he's playing this up like he's not angry about it. Like, yeah. It's just... You know, like, I just don't understand. Like, you know, we're out here doing something important, so we're just going to move all this stuff off. He says that, but then he just launches it all across the room. And even then, when you see it, you really feel like he's holding back. Like, he's just holding back this rage.
Well, he didn't want to break the dildo. That's the thing. Exactly. So he didn't put all of his effort into it. Didn't put all of his muscle into sweeping everything off the table, because, you know, you can always break the dildo. I mean, if he really wanted to be funny, what he would have done is had another guy just barely off camera reach in and take the dildo out of the pile of rubble at the end of the table.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious. I would have given John Ritzheimer points for comedy if he had done that. It would have shown that there's a self-deprecating. Like, ooh, yoink, we want this dildo. This dildo is perfectly good. By all means, send us more dildos. See, now that's what you should have done. You should have just asked for more dildos. Then it would have discouraged people from doing it. You say, if you look like you're annoyed, then that's going to encourage more people to do it, because they're getting the reaction they want. See how that works? See how the psychology works? Duh. Here's more of John Ritzheimer.
And we're going to continue to do work and do good for our country.
Yeah,
we're not going to be deterred. We're not going to let all your junk and hate mail sidetrack us, and we're going to continue to do what's right for our country. For the rest of you patriots out there that are still
there it is. That's patriots. I love the stressing on the word. For the rest of you patriots, you people who are supposed to be out here with us defending us, but instead are sitting at home warm.
Well, I'm out here. Yeah, I'm out here with some dildos and a bunch of guys in a completely secluded area.
Some dildos and Ryan Bundy.
That's right. Bunch of guys, bunch of dildos, and no one around for miles.
That's it. There's your porn movie.
Oh, my God. I think we're on to something.
Thumbs, debating whether or not you should come out. Well, now's the time. If you want to be part of history in the making, you need to get out here.
Now's the time. We've got dildos. Let's see if I can throw in dildos one more time in this segment.
You need to show some support. I'm not talking about coming out here and being an outside perimeter.
There it
come
is.
Come here and be a patriot.
There it is, showing that the rift between them and all these other idiot militia groups.
That's right. We're doing something and you're not doing anything. We're just sitting here unboxing our bags of dicks. That's
they get
what
hungry
we're doing.
Enough, and they're going to be eating those dicks. And if they get horny enough, which will happen at some point.
Oh, this will be fun to bleep today. Let's see if I can finish bleeping this before the State of the Union address is over.
You have to leave the dicks in. You can do that. It's legal.
Oh, is it really? I don't know.
Yeah, you can do that.
Does that make it safe for work or not safe for work? I have no idea.
You can say that.
All right. Let's take one last break and wrap up the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for joining us on our Tuesday show.
You know what else is fascinating about that Ritzheimer thing? One more thing, by the way.
Yeah.
He sits there and he gripes about how can people spend money on hate. He says hate like 7 times.
Yeah.
This is the same guy who, in early December, so just before this all started happening, this is the guy who drove cross-country from Arizona out to, I think it was headed to New York, and he stopped along the way and kept taking pictures of himself in front of mosques as sort of a threat to, you know, threat to Muslims in America because he called them invaders.
Yeah.
Well, that's how much money is that spending on hate?
Yeah.
Hate, like legitimate hate?
Yeah,
you're just being mocked, you little turd.
Yeah, I mean, he organized the Draw Muhammad contest, or one of the Draw Muhammad contests. That's all about hate.
Yeah,
I mean, say what you will about...
He genuinely hates people. We're just mocking them.
All these people sending dildos just clearly hate us. They're all about just hating, you know, with their dildos. All right, so the State of the Union is tonight. You're probably going to hear this show after the State of the Union is already over. So, you know, chances are there's going to be no reason to actually discuss any preview details of it. It's going to be 9 o'clock Eastern time. 6 o'clock where Chez and I are.
Yeah.
And
you know what? For the record, let's just go ahead and say it right now. Mm-hmm. Ricky Gervais, since you're going to be listening to this afterwards, Ricky Gervais was a spectacular host of the State of the Union.
Yes.
he was great tonight. So,
man, that'd be funny. Okay. So, let's see. Kim Davis is going. That's sort of that happens every year. Every year the Republicans invite some nutbag to sit in
some whack job
in the gallery.
Whoever their action figure du jour is.
Yeah. And of course Kim Davis will also be speaking at the Republican National Convention this summer. I'm positive of that.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Yeah. So she's definitely going. The thing that that kind of caught my eye today was factcheck.org released their latest update on Obama's numbers. Basically Obama's success or failure report card since 2008. And basically goes like this. And this is actually, for the most part, it's all good. They're just a couple of weird ones, but mostly all good. For some reason, they start with homicides. I guess that's what they always do. Homicides are down by 13%. Violent crime is down by 16%. Gun buyer checks are up by 58%. There have been 9.2 million jobs added since 2008. That is huge. The unemployment rate is down to 5%, which is the historical median. Long-term unemployed is down by 614,000 people. Job openings up 97%. Corporate profits up 166%. Real weekly earnings, though, only up 3.4%. Corporate profits, 166% up. Real weekly earnings, 3.4% up. Big disparity there. Okay. Job openings up 97%. S&P is up 139%. Consumer prices up 12.4%. Food stamp recipients up 42% since 2008. But since 2008, there was still a big part of the recession in there. Honestly, from factcheck.org's numbers, it's actually gone down in the last several years. So that's actually good news. Uninsured is down 15 million people. That's huge. That's all Obamacare. Home ownership is down 3.8 points. U.S. crude oil production is up 87%. Petroleum exports down 62%. Wind and solar power up 273%. That is absolutely good news. The national debt is up by 116%. Not so good news, but it's not hugely important yet. Federal spending is up 11%. Exports of goods and services is up 31%. New car miles per gallon actually is up 19%. Guantanamo prisoners down 57%. U.S. military fatalities since 2008 in Iraq, 273. Afghanistan, 1749. So that's the latest series of numbers. Also, one
or,
thing.
Or as Fox News is reporting today, we're all about to be killed by a gay comic.
That's right. It's Armageddon, obviously. But the one thing that they mentioned here that is really kind of important as far as smacking down one of the Republican talking points, which is the labor participation rate. They talk about this here for a second. Labor participation rate is 62.6% as of December. But they note here, I'm going to quote this directly. Contrary to many of Obama's critics, however, that decline is due mostly to factors outside the control of any president, factors such as the post-World War II baby boomers reaching retirement age. Yeah. That is it right there. That is why the labor participation rate is down so much, because
can we just blame everything on the boomers?
Yeah, I think we should. That's a great idea. Survey data published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics in December show that those outside the labor force in 2014 said their reasons for not working were retirement, 44%, illness or disability, 19%, school attendance, 18%, or home responsibilities, 15%. Only 3% said they couldn't find a job or gave some other reason. Only 3%. So when Donald Trump or any of the Republicans said, well, the labor participation rate is way, way down. Well, it's obviously because of the baby boomers, people not looking for people, you know, who are disabled and can't work. It's not because of anything Obama has done or hasn't done. It's entirely about these other factors. Only 3%. You can blame 3% of that on Obama. Well, I'll concede that. 3%. But nothing else. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Okay, so let's get into Bernie versus Hillary here for a second.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This Can't is gonna wait.
Be, this will be this fun. Is,
this will be ugly.
Okay, so the latest poll has really exacerbated tensions between the Hillary Clinton camp and the Bernie Sanders camp and their respective supporters online. Bernie Sanders is breaking away from Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire and is edging ahead of her in Iowa, according to new polls that show him solidifying the support of Democrats ahead of the first two 2016 presidential primary election contests. The polls add to the mounting pressure on Mrs. Clinton, who is seen for months as an overwhelming favorite in the race. A survey from Quinnipiac found that 49% of likely Democratic caucus goers in Iowa are planning to back Mr. Sanders, while 44% support Mrs. Clinton. The results represent a shift from a month ago when the former Secretary of State was leading Mr. Sanders by 11 percentage points. The poll has a margin of error plus or minus 4 percentage
points. Let's take just 1 second to set the Wayback Machine for July 8th of 2015. I just looked it up because I know I had seen it.
Yeah.
This is from 538, written by the savant himself, Nate Silver.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders could win Iowa and New Hampshire, then lose everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true. And that's kind of what we're looking at now. I mean, so far, Hillary Clinton is destroying Bernie Sanders in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And
let's just I'll say this again. And you know what? The Bernie bots, it's unfair to call them Bernie bots. But the people who really support Bernie Sanders, I swear to God, Bernie Sanders, anybody who calls himself a Democratic socialist, even if a Democratic socialist is different from an actual socialist, yeah, is not going to be president in the United States.
No.
It will not happen.
Well, there's very little chance of it happening. I mean, there would have to be some major shift in the way politics is conducted
here. The
other
problem with Bernie, and I know I'm getting off track, but this is something I've wanted to talk about for a while, because sure, I've started to see articles on this pop up. And it just sort of, you know, it gets into a subject that I think everybody kind of knows by now, which is that two things. Number one, Bernie is a one-note candidate. His entire thing is equality. That's yeah, all he cares about. Which, by the way, nothing wrong with that. That's a hugely important issue.
Yeah.
But he cares about and concentrates on nothing else. And by the way, when I say he concentrates on nothing else, there are, like, I've seen a couple of articles recently, really good stuff, where people have said, like, one of the problems with Bernie is that he is so fucking angry. Because all he's ever thinking about is inequality. And it just gets him and it burns him up. And understood, there's nothing wrong with that because he's right that it's a real issue. But to try to run on that kind of outrage for an entire campaign and win in the general with that, history has shown that it doesn't work.
Yeah, because what you'll have to do is remind people what happened in 2008 and 2007, and then moving forward into 2009 and 2010 with the Great Recession. And what we have seen is already people have mostly forgotten I mean, sadly enough, and again, this is something that I was remembering while watching The Big Short over the weekend, is that, you know, it just hasn't resonated like it should have. And it's a tragedy that it hasn't.
No, yeah, and it frankly, should. It and look, f***ing Bernie is completely on the money when it comes to the equality, when it comes to the inequality issue. I was talking to my girlfriend the other day, and, you know, I think Macy's is closing down, I don't know how many stores, but a bunch of stores.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons they're closing down so many stores is that there is no middle – Macy's is a very middle-class store. And the problem is there's really no middle class anymore. Everybody's now is either – you know, you either buy at Target or you buy you know, or you buy at like H&M or some other fast fashion place if you need clothing or – you're high end. You're way up on the food chain, and you go to places that carry really expensive stuff.
Right.
The people who are suffering most in the economy in terms of business are those who cater to a thriving middle class, because there isn't a thriving middle class anymore.
No, there's not. There's not. And clearly, something has got to be done to re-regulate Wall Street and the big banks. There's no doubt about that. And again, and when you see The Big Short, you will understand precisely why. And at least if you already understand, you'll be reminded exactly why. And so that makes Bernie Sanders what I think an important candidate. I don't know, because I mean, I base all of my because I've got no horse in this race. I'm not supporting Hillary. I'm not supporting Bernie Sanders either. I know who I'm going to vote for, but I'm not out there publicly advocating for either one. I had my time in 2008 and 2012, and I can't bring myself to get into that sort of dem on dem fracas again. But at the same time, I think I'm realistic, and I think I have a pretty good grasp of political reality, political history. And what we know is that in order to compete against the Republicans in a general election, you need to have a pile of money. You need to have a pile of name recognition. You need to have the winds of change blowing behind you. You need to have major national events guiding people how to vote. In 2008, there was the recession and the collapse of AIG and everything else that occurred right in the middle of the general election, after the conventions. All that crap went down and shifted everything to solidly Obama, where it was sort of neck and neck before that. Things like that have to happen. But in the absence of knowing any of that, all you can do is look at the tea leaves, look at fundraising, look at the candidate's approach, look at the candidate's politics, and determine, like, for example, with Bernie Sanders, let's rewind again to 2008. 2008, each one of the, or actually 2012, each of the candidates spent over $1 billion. Mitt Romney spent over $1 billion. Barack Obama spent over $1 billion. Is Bernie Sanders going to be able to compete on money against the Republicans by not associating with a super PAC, not associating with any PACs for that matter, and in fact discouraging them while also refusing to take big money donors and big bundlers? It seems like he's handicapping himself. Then the subsequent question is, if he decides to renege on that, are his supporters going to become disillusioned and bail out?
Oh, I already wrote about that. I already wrote a while back. I said that if Bernie were to become president, his supporters would bail on him.
Yeah.
The first time he had to make a deal, the first time he had to do something pragmatic, they would scream bloody f***ing murder. They would call him a traitor. You know, I mean, it would be sheer insanity.
So my
because when you become... Because saying what you're going to do when you're president is a hell of a lot different than actually being president and having to make compromises. Having to make compromises so that you get some of what you want as opposed to nothing you want. And obviously, people who are willing to vote only for somebody who they believe will give them everything they want are averse to that kind of thinking.
Exactly. Exactly. Furthermore, you know, I don't know, I just don't know how well he can do if he's, well, let's put it this way. I threw the question out on Twitter. No one could answer the question. No one answered the question. And that question is, how will Bernie compete against the Republicans if he can't raise the money? No. If he's refused to raise the money, will he renege on that? And if so, will his people become disillusioned? And I couldn't get a satisfactory answer on that. Everyone's sort of saying, well, this is different. This is a new era. He's changing things. And I said, well, that's all well and good. But do we really, the stakes are just so high when it comes to the potential of a Republican getting elected, that do we really want to take the chance that
Don't ever say that to them, because they will say, yeah, you have to vote your conscience. You have to. We you go ahead and just tolerate establishment. We're going to vote our conscience. That's such crap.
Yeah.
Well, that's written by people who somehow automatically, they must have some kind of insulation so that they're not going to suffer too terribly if a Republican becomes president.
That's right.
Not just any Republican. It's not fair to say if a Republican becomes president, because we've already seen who the people are, one of these people, among whom these is going to be the next president. That made no sense whatsoever. I sounded like fucking Al Sharpton. But honestly, we know the group from which that president will be chosen among the Republicans. That's what I wanted to say.
Right.
And they're all freaking crazy.
Yep.
You have Donald Trump, who is a monster. You have Ted Cruz, who is insane. These are the people who are going to become president for the Republicans if a Democrat does not stand in the way. And I'm sorry, I will not risk that. To take a chance on a dark horse.
Well, let's put it this way. You know how I would absolutely vote for Bernie Sanders? And again, I haven't decided yet who I'm going to vote for in California.
I'll vote for Bernie Sanders if he gets the nomination. I'll vote for him 20 times if I can.
Absolutely. But in the California primary, when I go to vote, I would vote for Bernie Sanders if I knew that he had a path to victory in the general election. If someone would explain to me, whether it's from Bernie Sanders himself or someone from his camp, or even like a lot of his supporters were to say to me, don't worry, this is how it's going to happen.
Feel the burn. People are talking about it on the internet. That's all that matters. Feel the burn.
Yeah,
haven't you seen among my very, very, very small bubble of Facebook friends who all love Bernie, that everybody loves him? Haven't you figured that out? Everybody I know loves Bernie. Feel the burn.
Then show me beyond Feel the Burn. Show me the path to victory. Show me how he's going to raise over $1 billion with small donors.
Feel the burn.
That's right. I mean, I ran the numbers. I mean, if you take $1.1 billion, which is what Obama spent in 2012, and you divide that times every man, woman, and child in the United States, 314 million. Is that what it is? Somewhere around there. Every man, woman, and child in the United States would have to give Bernie Sanders $3.50 in order for him to raise $1.1 billion. I don't know if that's even possible. I mean, again, it's inconceivable that would happen.
Feel the burn. Every hashtag we create earns him another $3.50. Every hashtag. Feel the burn.
All right, the postmortem show is coming up next. Everything we didn't get to on this show, we're going to talk about Bill Cosby versus Bill Clinton, and we may even continue this Bernie versus Hillary discussion on the postmortem show. That's at patreon.com/Bob and Chess. Sign up now. Bye, folks.